Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. This is the best time of the year. We've got football, folks. We've got a full slate of NFL preseason football games for you. We're going to touch on a few of them. Tonight we got five games being played. And we'll touch on a couple of them for a couple of minutes. But overall, we've got a full slate all weekend. We got games tonight, tomorrow night. One game on Saturday and another game on Sunday. Looking forward to having you call in. Phone number tonight is 347-945-7975. Look forward to you to have a little chat. Remember, you can always log on to blogtalkradio.com/MotormouthMosley. Go to the date, and you can join us in chat. I believe some of our regular callers are at games tonight. I know Coach Howard is at the San Diego-Seattle game. We probably won't be hearing from him tonight, but we'll just have a nice little monologue, a little conversation by myself for a good 30 minutes. Hopefully we can get a couple people to call in, but if not, you can always log in at a later time and listen in to what I had to say. Tonight won't be anywhere near as controversial as I was the other night when I was throwing stones at the NCAA and Major League Baseball for some of their hypocritical ways and corruptive ways. But we're just going to talk football tonight. The national game was the Atlanta Falcons versus Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get a little bit more in depth. That game was on national television, also on local television here, but it was on national television on ESPN. NFL Network decided to bounce around, and it basically did an umbrella effect and covered all the other games here and there. And now they're showing the San Diego-Seattle game. But along with those two games, the Jets also played, tonight's games were Atlanta versus Cincy, Cleveland versus St. Louis, Washington versus Tennessee. That was a game where RG3 was not going to play. In fact, he probably won't play at all this preseason. But I did take a couple of minutes to glance at that game for a little bit. It looks like Chris Johnson is back in his midseason form. Saw him take off for about a 70-yard scamper, outrunning everybody on the field as normal. Also playing tonight was Tampa Bay versus Baltimore, which was an interesting game because you got no Ray Lewis, you got no Ed Reed, you got no Anquan Boldin on the defending Super Bowl champion Raven team. So it's looking like there's going to be a lot of rebuilding going on there. And then, as I said, also being played tonight is what some people are believing to be the precursor to the Super Bowl this year, and that's the Denver Broncos versus the San Francisco 49ers. Last time I checked, that was a low-scoring event. But the thing with most of these preseason games, especially what is officially now week one, you may get to see some of the healthy starters play the first quarter, and that's about all you're going to get to see. And the rest of the time, it will be evaluations of players that are trying to make the team or show the coaching staff what they got to maybe get into the starting lineup. But the real football, the real quality football, is usually only played about the first quarter in week one of the preseason. As I said, as we all know, there were games, the Hall of Fame game was played last Sunday, but this is actually the full slate where everybody comes out and plays. We looked at that Denver game, and those were, Denver's got the potential, like I said, to be in the Pro Bowl this year. They're led by Peyton Manning, and they've got probably, in my opinion, one of the most dangerous wide receiving cores in the league. I think the guys in Atlanta may have something to say about that. I know the guys in Dallas want to say something about it. But to me, you got Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker. And you line up those three guys, and you've got some lethal weapons that can do some really damage. And the fact that you've got Peyton Manning pulling the trigger, that makes Denver a very, very dangerous and explosive team to begin with. It looks like we got a caller calling in from the 404. I'll get right with them in a couple of minutes, but I did want to go down the list and of the games. As we were talking, the San Francisco-Denver game. As I said, I saw a little bit of it, and San Francisco's also returning a bunch of quality ball players. They had an interesting offseason because I think they actually improved in a couple of areas. You know, they were returning Colin Kaepernick and Vernon Davis, who were definitely two of the best at their position playing last year. Colin playing in that pistol offense or spread offense or however you want to call it. It was more of a pistol, in my opinion. But that team is going to probably be a playoff caliber team. They picked up a couple of quality players. They picked up Anquan Boldin from the Ravens, who will do nothing but add quality to their receiving core. Michael Crabtree is down with an injury right now. So the addition to Boldin will definitely be a benefit. They picked up Nnamdi Asomugha, or as I call him, Nnamdi Asomugha Washington. He's now married to Kerry Washington from the TV show Scandal. But they picked him up, and after a stellar career at Oakland, he has somewhat bobbled a little bit when he went to Philadelphia. His talent didn't really show up as much as it should have. I just don't think that system fit him as well as it did in Oakland. Hopefully he can get revived in San Francisco. But that San Francisco team is just a dominant team, especially on defense, where I believe they have the strongest linebacker core of any team that's playing a 4-3. They've got Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith, and Patrick Willis, and that is just a formidable front. You know, all three of those guys are potential Pro Bowl players year in, year out for the next 10 years. So they will definitely be competitive. But as I said, the highlight game of the weekend was the hometown Atlanta Falcons. You know what? Before we go there, I do want to do a little business real quick. Remember, you are listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. You can reach us by sending your donations in to the Motormouth Mosley Man Cave at P.O. Box 55, Redan, Georgia 30074. You can hit us up if you have questions or comments on our Twitter page at mmosley24. You can hit us in an email at motormouthmosley@aol.com. And, of course, you can call in tonight at 347-945-7975. Since we do have a caller, I do want to check in and see if they've got something to say or if they're just going to listen in. Hello, caller. You're listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. Did you have something to say or are you just listening in?
Kyle, this is your main man, Walt, calling in from Snellville. I'm just thrilled to be on your show, and I just wanted to express my disappointment with Mike Johnson. I went to Alabama, and he was set to be the right guard, and he went down with a horrific right leg injury, fractured the fibula, and dislocated his right ankle a couple of days ago. And I was looking forward to him trying to give Matt Ryan some protection.
But yeah, they definitely.
No one else got hurt.
They definitely got some issues on the offensive line. And since you are a Falcon fan, you can be my pseudo co-host for a little while, because I do want to discuss the Falcons and actually this game tonight. And that is one of the questions that the Falcons do have. They are a loaded team. They went 13-3 last year, within a play or two of making it to the Super Bowl, a heartbreaking loss to the 49ers 28-24 in the NFC Championship game last year. But they've got Matty Ryan, who just signed a very lucrative over $100 million contract in the offseason. They were able to convince Tony Gonzalez to come back after he had said 95% that he was probably not going to return. He was going to retire. And you're talking about a guy who, unfortunately for the five-year wait, is a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably the best to ever play his position. I still kind of give the edge to, oh, goodness, why am I drawing a blank? San Francisco Chargers. tight end. Kevin Winslow. There I go. Kevin Winslow. He's still my favorite all-time tight end. But they've got, you know, a very good receiving core coming back. They've got a very good quarterback. They picked up who I believe is a running back that still has some gas left in his tank, and that's Steven Jackson from the Rams. I think his career will be revived. But the big question that they have in that offense is, as you said, that offensive line. And right tackle is a question because they moved their former right tackle over to left tackle. So the question is right tackle. And tonight it looked, and I'm only going to base it off the first quarter because after that you have a bunch of guys that probably will either be depth, but they probably won't be starters or playing a lot this first year. It looked like
exactly.
They still have some questions on that offensive line. It looks like there's still some questions. They did a decent job in pass pro, but the running game was extremely suspect. I think most of the carries that Steven Jackson got early, he got tackled either behind the line of scrimmage or for a minimal gain. As a Falcon fan, do you think that am I correct in my assertion that the offensive line is the key question for that offense this year?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. For what I've seen, I haven't seen them bring in any name replacements yet. So I guess they're trying to develop what they have. So we'll have to wait and see how it goes in future games.
Well, and then that'll be a situation much like with the Cowboys. They haven't really gone after any free agents because I don't think there's really any quality free agents left out there to sign, especially playing, you know, finding a quality left or right tackle in today's NFL is very difficult. There are a couple of offensive guards that are out there, but I think, you know, losing Tyson Klebo to the Dolphins will come back, and then that will be an issue. Having your man go down early in training camp and probably lost for a good portion of the season, I think that's definitely going to hurt them. But they did make some offseason moves, like I said, that should help the team overall. I think definitely Steven Jackson is an upgrade over Michael Turner, who I think had pretty much run out of gas. And it'll be a question of I think they actually took a step back with the signing of Osiumanura after losing John Abraham. Although John had lost a step or two also, but he still was probably their best defensive pass rusher on the team. And I think that they're gonna miss him a little bit.
I was disappointed in his performance in the NFC Championship game, though. Once Matt Ryan got him to that 24-7 lead, I was just hoping against hope that that defense would make a couple of stops, and they just didn't get it done in that second half. And I'm thinking they're holding him partially responsible for that. That's probably why they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, that's true. And you're probably right. They're probably looking at him as a scapegoat that he needs to make a play or two. But we all know that it is a team game. There's a whole bunch of reasons why they weren't able to hold on. But they picked up Desmond Trufant in the draft. I don't know if you were able to watch tonight's game or not. But what did you think of Desmond?
No, I missed that first quarter.
He showed himself well.
But I heard Desmond Trufant's the real deal, and he's going to start as a rookie.
Yeah, he's absolutely going to start, and he's got that legacy. He's got two brothers that are playing in the league. He's got Isaiah, who's in the camp with the Jets, and he's got, you know, Marcus, who is, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback, a defensive player. So he's definitely got the bloodlines. I think that will definitely help. I think did you guys lose, what was it, Decode? Did you guys lose him too?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to find out if we brought back Asante Samuel. I didn't see him.
Yes, Asante Samuel was on the sideline tonight. I did see Asante Samuel on the sideline.
Okay.
He was on the team.
Okay. I was hoping we would bring him back.
But even with all the questions that they had on defense last night, one of the interesting things was they were very lowly ranked when it came to defensive yards and giving up yards, but they were top 10, top 5 in points. So they really had a bend and don't break a persona throughout the year, and I think that just basically came back and bit them in the playoffs when they really needed the defense to stand up. But one of my favorite heartfelt stories on that team is that linebacker, I think it's Brandon Banks, who was in the Seahawks camp last year, and he's trying to make the team after getting falsely accused of a heinous crime, and come to find out that the lady was lying, so he was released. But you know, he still served time. So Pete Carroll gave him a shot last year, and now Mike Smith is giving him a shot to make the team as a linebacker. And you know, it's a long shot because the guy hasn't played ball since he was in high school, and I think he was on his way to go to USC to play when all this happened. Like I said, it's a long shot, but you hope for guys like that to somehow find a way to get to make that dream come true.
Right. After he served 5 years for a rape he was falsely accused of and 5 years probation. But I think by him being able to appear on national TV in this preseason game, that has to be like the biggest moment of his life. You know, whether or not he ever plays another down, I he could walk away, you know, with some kind of closure, I feel, even after tonight.
I agree. I thought it was rather interesting because Lisa Salters, one of the ABC/ESPN sideline reporters, did a little piece on him. And I thought it was rather interesting that, you know, when he said he was nervous, but he shouldn't be nervous because it was just football. He said, when I really was nervous was when I was in court and I was being accused of something that I knew I was innocent of. I just thought that was kind of, they put everything kind of into perspective. And I also noticed that his jersey number happened to be 53, making the 53-man roster. So I don't know if that was by accident or coincidence. But I thought that was just that was an interesting tangent. And although I know that you are a huge Atlanta Falcons fan, I do want to touch on the Bengals a little bit too, because the Bengals had a very interesting season last year. They went 10-6. They got knocked out of the AFC wild card. I believe it was by Houston, and it was a close game, like 13-9, I think. But they were being featured this year on that Hard Knocks HBO TV show. And you can get some behind-the-scenes information and knowledge and see how camps are run. But they've done some things in the offseason that kind of helped that team. They had an interesting draft. They picked up a quality running back out of North Carolina, Giovanni Bernard. And I think that he's going to give them a little giddy-up that they haven't had in a while. He's good at catching the ball out of the backfield. He's going to pair him up with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, which is probably the hardest thing to say, but they're going to pair those two in the backfield, and I think that should be a formidable backfield. They picked up James Harris from the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's now being asked to move from an outside linebacker in a 3-4 to a Sam linebacker in a 4-3. So it's going to be a little bit of a transition for him, but just watching in the first quarter tonight, he was still wreaking havoc. He was still just disruptive as ever. So it'll be a little bit of a transition for him. Probably one of the worst sideline interviews I've ever seen was with him. Lisa was so busy trying to get him to say what he felt like when he left the Steelers and what he felt about being let go. And then the guy immediately answered in a way that showed her that he was interested in that type of a conversation. He had no ill feelings. It's a business deal, and he's just trying to make a career being in Cincinnati. I just thought that was an interesting sideline, though. But I think Cincinnati has potential to be really good this year in the AFC. Andy Dalton out of TCU, Texas boy, is going to be one of the better quarterbacks. He's probably, if not top 10, he's definitely on the verge of being top 10. His biggest issue is he doesn't have anybody to throw to other than A.J. Green, who is a great wide receiver. He didn't play tonight because I think he tweaked his knee a little bit, so they're being a little cautious. But if they can find somebody else to go on the other side with him, they drafted a very good tight end, and they already had Grisham, so they should be interesting. They drafted Eifert out of Notre Dame as a tight end. So they're loaded at tight end. They just need somebody to pair up on that other side. And, of course, their defense is always going to be in question. Whenever you start the ancient Terrence Newman at one corner and the enigmatic Pac-Man, don't call me Pac-Man, Adam Jones, you ask yourself, how well will they hold up in the long haul? But we'll see what happens. Tomorrow night's games, there are more games tomorrow night. I think there's 8 games on the agenda tomorrow night. NFL Network is broadcasting 2 games. They're doing a doubleheader. I believe the early game is going to be New England versus Philadelphia, followed by Dallas versus Oakland. Other games on the schedule are New York Jets versus Detroit, Miami versus Jacksonville, Chicago versus Carolina, Arizona versus Green Bay, Houston versus Minnesota, and Kansas City versus New Orleans. We'll get to see what Sean Payton's going to do with his Saints when he comes back. Saturday night, we have a game, the Giants versus the Steelers, and Sunday, Buffalo versus the Colts. I would assume that both of those games will probably be televised somewhere. If not, you probably can watch them online, or you can do like they have advertised with the new, probably one of the funniest commercials I've seen in a long time, is Peyton and Eli Manning talking about NFL on your phone, and they got this 1970s, I don't even know how to describe their look, but it's a funny commercial, probably one of the funniest in a long time. Anything else you want to talk about? We've got about 8 minutes. Anything else you want to talk about, Big Walt?
Oh, yeah, I think Football on Your Phone, the new DirecTV commercial that the family Manning did, it was just off the chain. They were channeling, it looked like RJ's arrival from the 80s. But the Giants quarterback, Eli, he knew he had a hit on his hands. They were saying he got in line in the cafeteria there, and his old line was humming the hook to that song. But he confirmed in the press conference that it was going to be a one-hit wonder for him, that he's going to keep his day job. But I sent you the link to it. It's hilarious, and he did a great job.
I had seen it before. I saw it live on television the other day. And
I want Rick Ross to do a remix. So I need to do a remix. It's a cute little ditty. It really is.
Let's hope Jay-Z leaves his hands off of it. One other thing I did want to touch on is this is, for me personally, one of my favorite times of the year, not only because it's the beginning of football season, but because it's also the culmination of Little League Baseball Series. And
I know that it's not
anything big for a lot of people, but when you watch a bunch of 10, 11, 12-year-olds go out and play their hearts out in a game where they're not getting paid, where they're just playing the true love of baseball, you don't have to worry about anybody being on steroids or anybody. It's just refreshing to watch these kids play. And it's kind of sad because they get so heartbroken when they lose, but it's just, to me, it's just quality baseball. It's unbelievable how good some of these young men are at this age. And you watch them. And some of these kids, I remember a team from Dubai had a kid that was like 6'5 and 260, and he was 12. And it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't very coordinated. He really wasn't a baseball player. But, you know, of all the real sports that call themselves the world champion, this is one of the few where it is literally the world champion, because teams from all over the world come to Williamsport and play and have fun, and it's just great. You know, music is usually the binder for most emotions, but baseball in this sense crosses all lines, crosses all languages, and I just think that it's just a fantastic thing that they put on the Little League World Series, and I just look forward to watching it every year. I know it's not Like I said, it's not a big deal for a lot of people, but that's just my personal take.
Oh, for baseball fans, it's tremendous. And the quality of play has increased so significantly. The Orientals used to dominate it year over year, but the American teams that get to the finals, they usually have held their own and have played the Japanese and the Koreans and the Taiwanese toe-to-toe.
Yeah, the Asian teams have definitely improved. They definitely have dominated overall throughout the years, but Europe has done better. Central America has done a lot better.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember a few years ago when they had the incident with Danny Almonte, a pitcher.
Right.
Then I think it was from Puerto Rico, and he come to find out the guy was like 28 years old. But for the most part, it's legit, and these kids are just playing with their hearts. And you always have one little guy on the team who's, you know, about 4'11", and he's usually playing second base. He has his strike zone the size of a dime, but he's just a little gutsy guy, and everybody falls in love with him. So I'm just looking forward to another great World Series of the young ones. I'm absolutely looking forward to more football this weekend. Again, if you're listening to the Motor Mouth Mosley Radio Show, again, we're still looking for donations and sponsorships. If you're interested, feel free to give me a call during the show, or you can hit me up via email or Twitter outside of the show. You can also go directly to our Facebook page and hit on About and learn about how to go to our PayPal account. I keep posting things, links to that. So if you're interested, we definitely are looking forward to having some sponsors take over the financial part of the show. But I definitely want to thank Big Walt for calling in from all the way from Snellville, Georgia. And I know that he is a big-time Roll Tide fan. And I guess real quickly, I got about 2 minutes left on the show. I don't really want to get your take on the Johnny Manziel thing because that's a Texas issue, and I don't want you to talk about my Texas team. But
yes,
do you see a three-peat in line for the Roll Tide?
I just think that they're on another level. I mean, you probably heard about the coaches that he's brought in for their life talks at the team meetings, and they brought in Ray Lewis and Herm Edwards this week. And there's a one-minute snippet of Herm Edwards' talk up on YouTube, and he's talking to the receivers and saying, you're playing for a running team. That means if you get the ball thrown to you, you better catch it, because if you drop
it, you get
the quarterback
can't
throw it to you anymore. I love Herm Edwards. I love him. I mean, he's just everybody's favorite dad, you know what I mean?
You're right. You get Tony Dungy and Herm Edwards, and you definitely got two great guys to look up to. You're absolutely right.
I mean, Nick Saban's trying to develop men beyond football to be successful in life. I mean, he seems to have the national championship thing down pat, and I think that's the thing I admire about him the most, in that a lot of his guys that leave the program, they end up getting jobs with Alabama sponsors, if somewhere in North Alabama, in the Birmingham, Tuscaloosa area, and or on campus. And he has like a ginormous staff of, you know, full of former players and coaches. And it's just that's the thing that makes me admire him so much more. I mean, for him going from 7-6 when they hired him in 2007. And here we are 6 years later, 3 national championships and a statue. I mean, I'm still in humble awe of what he's accomplished.
Well, there's no doubt they've got a great program going on, and he's definitely laid down a fantastic foundation of winning and winning the right way. So we'll see what happens this year. To me, their schedule, I looked at it the other day, and it's kind of cupcake. They got LSU on it, and LSU is probably the only real, until they get to the SEC championship, they really don't have anybody else.
Well, we do go to A&M on September 14th now, remember that.
We go to A&M. You do go to A&M, that should be interesting. But I hate to cut you off. That's going to be a good one. We'll be looking forward to that game. And I do want you to call back in on later shows because I love having a conversation with you. You have been listening to
the Motormouth Most Radio Show.
This has been your man, Motormouth Mosley. We had Big Walt call in. I want to thank him for calling in. Look forward to upcoming shows. Sunday night we'll have a show. And the next Tuesday we'll have former NFL four-time Super Bowl champ Jesse Sopolu of the San Francisco 49ers calling in. So I look forward to that. Have a great weekend. You all be blessed, and thanks a lot for calling in. Aloha.